On the flight deck, listeners are manning up for the podcast launch. It's time for all unnecessary shows to clear the airwaves.
You're listening to The Hangar Bay, a podcast dedicated to the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. From developers to the community and everything in between, The Hangar Bay will get you squared away.
Welcome down to The Hangar Bay, your source for the latest news that every military flight simulation pilot can use. Today is Sunday, March 17th, 2024, and I'm your host, Stumanji. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of The Hangar Bay. I hope you've had a wonderful week wherever the virtual skies took you. Fortunately, it's been a little bit of a technically challenging week for me. My main SimPit computer had a motherboard failure, but we got that back up and running, so we're finally getting around to recording the show a little bit late this week, so apologies for that. That said, let's get things started like we always do around here with the flyby. The flyby is where we aim to cover the highlights from this week's news in 60 seconds or less. Starting things off this week, we have Heepler, which has bringing the news big time. So the DCS F4E is delayed until April, maybe even May. I know many community members have suspected that the latest lack of communication on their part could be hinting at something, and unfortunately that is true. That said, Heepler sure makes up for it this week with tons of F4E related news. Sales, sales, sales. That's right, we've got sales for everyone. So DCS has a spring sale active, IL-2 has a spring sale active, and Verpal has an 8th anniversary sale on the hardware side of the house. For IL-2, the Great Battles multiplayer server combat box added the Kuban map to its rotation this week, so if you're interested in the IL-2 multiplayer scene, be sure to check that out. DCS Retribution, the quote-unquote dynamic campaign generator, is updated to version 1.3.1 as of now, with lots of wonderful additions and fixes. And then finally, on the DCS side of the house, the F-15E is getting some serious love from the content creators this week with some really, really great tutorials. So that was the few of the bigger stories for this week. I hope you'll stick around for the full show, where we'll cover all of these stories in more detail, as well as the rest of the week's news. On that note, let's dig in and get things started with the developers.
Hey everyone, Wags here.
In the developer news segment, we bring you the latest happenings from game developers and related third parties. And as we alluded to up front in the flyby, it's all about Heepler this week. So on the DCS side of the house, Heepler, the developer of the newly anticipated F4E Phantom module, announced that unfortunately there will be a delay in the release of the module. Originally, they were hoping to have this out sometime this month by the end of March. But as they allude to in the blog, which I have in the show notes, and we'll quickly pause and mention, if you want to follow along on the show notes, as always, you can find them on thehangarbaypod.com. or on the YouTube or Spotify version of the video shows of this feed. You can follow along with the show notes as I talk about them and see all the links. That said, I definitely encourage you to check out the links to what Heepler is talking about this week, because boy oh boy, do they have a lot of content. As I mentioned specifically, they are delaying the F4E Phantom, and the reason for that is, well, primarily two things. One, they state that COVID has really hit their team hard. The developer notes indicate that over 90% of the team has been in some way significantly ill, almost exclusively with COVID, as they've come down the final stretch toward the initial release of the F4. And then they combined it with the Heepler UI. So as we alluded to in previous shows, they're really trying to push the state of what's possible in the DCS engine with this upcoming F4E Phantom module, specifically with some of the new UI elements that they're adding in the form of a browser and the interactive manuals and the new gesture wheel. Well, unfortunately, as a part of the initial testing of that new UI feature, they realized that about 5 to 10% of users were having some complete game-breaking, unusable lag with these UI elements that they're adding. So essentially made the game unplayable for these individuals due to a GPU bottleneck. So you combine that unexpected yet significant bug, if you will, combined with the unavailability of their team members due to illnesses, and it just simply took them a lot longer to get some of these things worked out than they anticipated, culminating in too much pressure on the team down the final stretch. So they're kind of putting a pause on that release time frame, taking a little bit of time to get across the finish line, making sure all those I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, that sort of thing. Tangentially working with software in my day-to-day job, I totally understand where the team's coming from. And I think the thing that we can celebrate as a community is just the transparency of Heepler in this situation. I mean, it's unfortunate it's going to be delayed, but I think we can all agree I'd rather have a polished product that works right out of the gate than something that's unpolished and doesn't function. We've seen that far too often. not only in DCS, but other flight sims or any of the computer games we might play. So kudos to Tibor for recognizing the issue, and I appreciate their transparency. Now, it's, you know, could that have come a little bit sooner? Sure. You know, I'm never going to get too angry about this stuff. I got so many aircraft I don't fly anyway that the F4E is probably just going to add to the laundry list of things I don't have time for. But that said, I am actively looking for this module. I already have it pre-ordered, so whenever Heapler can get it out the door, we'll be excited to receive it. That said, highly encourage you to read the blog posts here on it regarding Heapler. You can find their website at heapler.com. Read the news and updates understand a little bit more about these UI elements that they're adding to the game. That said, they did not one, but two blog posts for us this week about what's coming up in regards to the F4E and what we can anticipate. The first of those provided an overall development update for the aircraft itself. So they detail that they're in the process of final work regarding multi-crew synchronization and flight model tuning, which, let's be honest, does that ever really end with some of these aircraft? And then finally, mission and content. So this was the element I was most curious about. We previously talked about how they're in the process of finalizing some training missions and single player content, and not everything will be coming right out the gate, but it's possible that we could see a little bit more on that content front since they have about another month to develop it than they were previously estimating. So all that stuff sounds like it's coming together pretty nicely. Art and sound production are already done. They are using the extra time, though, before release to create a larger library of liveries. So they aim to have at least one unique skin for the F4E for every country that operated it. So I think that's a really cool addition. And then they kind of just talked about the detail, which they've hinted at before with the F4E, about how much work has really gone into this aircraft and how it's a labor of love. They had an interesting nugget that was they estimate that the APQ-120 radar alone represented almost half as much work as the entirety of the Viggen. So just the radar on the F4 equates to about half the development time of the entire aircraft of the Viggen. So it's pretty remarkable just to see how far, and when you think about it in that context, this game has come in terms of third-party development complexity and the amount of effort that's being poured into these aircraft. And then finally, they have a pretty detailed discussion of performance and optimization. I know some people have had concerns in the community about, well, this is going to be a really complicated aircraft. How will that perform? They had a nice series of charts, which I'm showing here in the notes, and you can check out for yourself on the blog notes, of just how inline FPS-wise they're showing the F4E performs in relation to some of the other aircraft already in DCS, like the F-15E, the AH-64. The quote that stood out to me was, their goal is to simply match current module DCS performance as closely as possible while simultaneously going further than ever before in terms of capabilities. So, and on that note, they reiterate that a lot of the new features coming in F4E are the UI, which we just talked about, a bombing calculator, a fully voiced interactive crew chief, you know, the interactive manual, my favorite, the grease pencil so we can write on the canopy, and then Jester 2.0. And that's one thing I wanted to underline here. For the sake of brevity, especially for those of you who are not as interested in the DCS scene, this probably could deserve a whole podcast on its own, but this blog notes went deep into understanding the capabilities of Jester 2.0. So they really pour a lot of time and effort walking you through what they're doing with that interactive crew member, if you will. So you're flying it. For those of you who don't fly the F-14 in DCS, Jester is kind of like your automated co-pilot to some extent. So you're Goose. If you're Maverick, it's Goose in the back seat, you know, a full AI co-pilot, if you will. Now, some of those features were hit or miss a little bit on the F-14. It's still a pretty cool feature. But, you know, as any initial foray, you learn a lot as you do the second version, you go to improve it. And it really sounds like they've rewritten Jester 2.0 from the ground up. But again, the three things that stood out to me in this regard from all of the notes they discussed was, one, the community will be able to mod Jester to their own needs and desires. So I can't wait to see what some of our talented community members are able to come up with in terms of modifying Jester's capabilities. And while why that's so interesting is note number two, other studios and professional creators will be able to use Jester in their own modules. So Heapler has designed this to be a system that can be leveraged by other third-party developers or even Eagle Dynamics as well, which unlocks just a load of capabilities that I really hadn't previously thought possible. I know we talked about Heapler using Jester like in their own future aircraft, like the A6 and whatnot, but imagining us being able to use Jester and the DCS, any of the helicopters, you know, and then I know Eagle Dynamics already has George, but imagine it could be in the Huey, or they can push the capabilities forward in the Hind, or the you know, really push those capabilities to the next level in terms of what this co-pilot's capable of, especially if we integrate some of these features. And then finally, the third thing that stood out in regard to Jester 2.0 was this quote: eventually there will be support for any number of Jester crew members. So I guess I started freaking out and just thought, oh, are we seriously going to be able to talk about, you know, aircraft that have more than two crew members now? Like, what kind of possibilities does that unlock for the DCS world community? You know, if we start talking about old school bomber aircraft, for example, a B-17, a B-25, could we have that fully crewed with Jester crew members? You know, the sky's the limit in terms of that functionality, but it really gets the imagination running. And perhaps I should stop rambling about it, but I just think it's really, really fascinating. It's very exciting about what it could unlock. And once again, I'm just so impressed with how third parties continue to push this game forward and unlock really new and creative ways of pushing this game engine forward. So kudos to you, Heatblur. It's unfortunate we won't get the F4E as quick as we were expecting, but hey, another few weeks really isn't that big a deal in my mind. And then finally, Heatblur also came up. I think I said they had two blog notes. Well, it was essentially that blog note, and then they had another great video about episode 3 in their Heatblur F4E series, this time focusing on navigation. So you can find that on the Heatblur YouTube page or here on my show notes as well. Essentially, just a nice deep dive into, if you're interested in how the F4E navigates its way around the world, understanding the navigation systems, the INS, and the sheer level of detail and complexity they're putting in, be sure to give that video a watch. It's great as always, but it really shows really how challenging the aircraft will be in some fun ways. Okay, so shifting things away from Heatblur, but still staying with DCS, as I mentioned at the top, the DCS spring sale is alive. So if there was anything you were looking to pick up that you've been missing in some of the recent sales, it's back once again. On the eShop, the sale is extended through March 24th, ending at 1500 GMT. And on Steam, the sale is active through March 21st at 1800 GMT. So be sure to pick up any modules, campaigns, or maps. I think the biggest standout still is that RASBAM is not supporting the sale beyond any of their early access products, which is unfortunate. But so keep an eye out. Maybe in some future sales, we'll see RASBAM join the club. Shifting over to the DCS weekly development notes, they mentioned that the LA-7 development report. So this would be a World War II aircraft on the Soviet side being developed by Octopus G. They say it's making great progress. The flight model's now complete. They're finishing up a lot of the systems, including the armament system and a bomb aiming control system. And they also provided a nice YouTube video of the LA-7 actually utilizing its bomb aiming control system in action. And they tease that this aircraft as well will also have a wide collection of liveries as they're preparing for launch. And the way they mention this, they say, quote, product is now being finalized for early access, so stay tuned for planned launch date. So maybe you could be getting this aircraft much earlier than I anticipated. So if you're interested in the DCS World War II scene, that might be one aircraft you'll get to pick up. Stay tuned. It might not be too long before it becomes available. Okay, so staying in the World War II realm, but shifting over to the IL-2 Great Battles side of the house, we had a developer podcast this week, which was a little interesting because it was in Russian, so which I guess suppose is not surprising given the nature of the developers, but I say a little surprising in the sense that it wasn't, unlike some of the previous efforts, this one wasn't translated officially. So a lot of what the community has done has been leveraging auto translations or having some Russian-speaking community members step up and fill the void there. So shout out to Stormbirds or Shamrock over at the Stormbirds blog, who I've highlighted before. That's stormbirds.blog. He posted a little update which directed me to the IL-2 Sturmovik forums, which where we found some nice updates from community members Flying, Anchor, and Wise, who kind of highlighted the auto-generated translation. So it's a nice caveat. Some of this is being auto-translated, so bear with us if it's not 100% what the developers intended. But a lot of interesting notes. Some of this we've previously mentioned on this show, which won't come as a surprise. A lot of the work currently being done right now by the team is being poured into their new project. In fact, one of the interesting notes added by community member Count Zero stated that roughly 90% of the team is working on this next generation product that's going to be coming our way from the IL-2 Great Battles team. So that leaves only about 10% of the staff currently supporting the existing Great Battles product. On that note, they did make some mention of some of the new updates we might expect, specifically in regards to the Odessa map that they've teased before, which will be a free map being added to the game. Sounds like that's being planned for the end of 2025. So still have some ways to go in waiting that one out. That said, it looks like there'll be two versions of the map. One would be an early period during the Nazi invasion, and then the late one would be during the Soviet liberation. And as part of that development effort, they tease that they're looking to be releasing some more aircraft. They're also looking to release the late aircraft, such as the LA-7, the Yak-3, and I think I saw the I-153 listed. So if you're familiar with those variants of, or I should say those aircraft, that's something to be excited for. But overall, it sounds like most of the development effort is essentially going to be supporting third parties who will be adding new maps and aircraft to the game in the meantime before we see that Odessa map hopefully go live sometime next year. That said, I can't wait to hear what the IL-2 team officially announces as their next game. It's been long anticipated that for many members of the community that we're likely looking at a Korean theater game, but hopefully it won't be long before we have received the official word on that. So go ahead and feel free, if you speak Russian, by all means, go ahead and give that podcast a listen. Otherwise, check out the show notes. You can get the full rundown on the forum post from the IL-2 folks about what's coming our way. And then on the IL-2 front, they're also doing their spring sale, as I mentioned, similar to Eagle Dynamics with DCS. The eShop sale for IL-2 is going to end, I believe, on the same time, roughly March 24th, while the Steam sale is identical with this DCS. It will end on March 21st at 1800 GMT. On that note, I found an interesting post on the IL-2 Reddit page, which was in regards to someone asking which campaigns they should buy. So I'm a sucker. I generally buy most of them, even if I don't get around to playing them right away. But if you're looking for a specific campaign to get into, maybe you're new to IL-2, you haven't picked anything up yet, go check out this page over there. It was a really good, interesting discussion about which campaigns some community members recommended. And then finally on the IL-2 note, some of you may already notice this or have noticed this, but I saw a nice PSA from a community member on the IL-2 Reddit page, specifically bringing up the issue that they were launching some career missions on the Normandy map, and they weren't encountering any enemy AI. So they'd go take off, go do their mission, and there weren't any enemy aircraft to dogfight. Well, supposedly, that is a known issue with the careers in IL-2 Great Battles at the moment. It's a known bug that's been acknowledged on the official forum where these mission auto-generated missions are not producing enemy units. So fighter sweeps or AI aircraft in general won't appear. And it's supposedly going to be addressed in the next patch. So perhaps as soon as next week. Haven't seen any details on that. If I learn more, or if I'll be sure to send it away your way here in the next episode. Or if you know anything more about this and want to give me an update, just give me a shout on social media, or please send me an email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com. And then finally, on the IL-2 front, the IL-2 Cliffs of Dover series is also having a spring sale. So you can find this series available on sale on Steam. Look up IL-2 Sturmovik Cliffs of Dover. If you're new to the series, I'd recommend the Dover bundle, which includes the base game and the Desert Wings Tobruk sale, and you can get that for about $20 right now on Steam. It's about 60% off. It's a great addition, especially if you're interested in the Battle of Britain time frame, or you're looking to do something a little unique and fly in the battles of North Africa. So that concludes things on the hardware news side, the developer news side of the house. Let's shift things over to the hardware news.
Flight controls.
Hardware news, whereas if you can move it, toggle it, push it, rotate it, well, this is where we're going to talk about it. And after that huge, lengthy developer news, we really don't have much in the way of hardware news. It's a pretty quiet week, other than the shout-out Verpal, who turned 8 this week. So happy birthday, Verpal. And as part of that birthday celebration, they're inviting you to save 8% off on all their hardware. So if you're looking to make a purchase from Verpal, missed one of their holiday sales, this is better than nothing. You can use the code VERPAL8 to secure 8% off your next order. The sale lasts until March 22nd at 2359 UTC. So that's verpals-controls.us.com, or in the EU, it's verpal-controls.eu. And then in the UK, it's verpal-controls.co.uk. So pretty short hardware news this week. Hopefully we'll have a little bit more to talk about next week. That said, let's shift things over to the community side of the house.
Really not tracking what they're doing exactly.
Community news is where we cover the latest goings-on of the community, from campaigns and mods to servers, software, and everything in between. And what we lacked in hardware news, we're going to make up for in community news this week. Kicking things off, we have the IL2 Great Battles series. The Combat Box server announced Combat Box Kuban server. So they're going to add the Kuban map, or Kuban, I never know how to say it, K-U-B-A-N. So someone can correct me if you're watching the show, let me know how to pronounce it correctly. That said, the team over there on the Combat Box server released a great little video detailing some of the action you can anticipate on the Eastern Front. The Combat Box team is pretty famous for its Western Front scenarios, having a pretty active server over there. And it looks like they launched this new one on Friday, so it's only a few days old. It looks like the action's already been going on over the weekend. So if you're interested in the IL2 multiplayer scene, be sure to check it out. And again, shout out Shamrock from the Stormbirds blog is the one who brought this to my attention. So thank you, Shamrock. He said also to add a little bit more context that according to posts by the administrators on their Discord server, the scenario has been created using the same Apollo campaign framework that the other scenarios use. So if you're familiar with Combat Box's previous efforts, this one should be very similar, except that it's going to now allow you to fly in that Battle of Stalingrad, Battle of Kuban time frame, like right around the 1943 era. So it's going to include collector planes like the BF-109G6, the LA-5F, NFN, and the U-2VS, the LI-2, and a bunch of others. So tapping into some new aircraft that maybe have been a little neglected in some of the other scenarios. If you're interested, you can learn more about this at combatbox.net. Okay, over to DCS now. With the dynamic campaign generator DCS Retribution being patched to version 1.3.1. The developers announced this over on the Hoggett subreddit and detail a huge number of improvements and fixes coming to that campaign generator. And, you know, we've talked about DCS Retribution here on the show before, so I encourage you to go back to some previous episodes and get a detailed rundown and set of tutorials that have been provided from some community members, especially the We Run Liberation group that makes heavy use of DCS Retribution. That said, some interesting improvements that stood out to me this week was if you like to do a lot of manual mission planning but wanted a few things automated for you, well, they got you covered. AWACS planning and theater tanker package planning can all be automated separately from the overall mission automation. So click a button, AWACS and tankers will always be auto-generated for you, and you can take care of the rest of the strike packages. On the mission planning side, there is an ability now to allow attack helicopters to escort other helicopters. I've been wanting to do more helicopter-specific gameplay on the DCS Retribution side of the house, so that sounds like a very intriguing option. And then finally, there's an option to enable unlimited fuel for AI, both for player and non-player flights. And honestly, given the state of DCS AI sometimes, that's probably not the worst thing. I've had several memories of watching the DCS AI try to line up behind the tanker and then run out of fuel and crash into the ocean. So having an option where we can just enable unlimited fuel, maybe not the worst idea. So if you're interested, you can download the DCS Retribution update from their GitHub page. That's DCS-Retribution. And you can learn more about DCS Retribution on their wiki, which is hosted on the GitHub page as well. So now, staying inside the DCS family, we move over to the community member side of the house with Sedlo teaching us how to use the mission editor. So Sedlo, we mentioned him on the show before, does a great job with his DCS mission editor tutorials. Given how much great work he's done with editing his own missions, he's always given back to the community in a great way and showing us how to use some of the features of the mission editor. This video specifically involves how to use advanced waypoint actions and triggered actions. Sedlo was kind enough to provide a too long didn't watch in which he states that advanced waypoint actions happen when an AI unit gets to a certain waypoint, and triggered actions happen whenever the mission maker decides. So if you're interested in learning about that functionality, go check out Sedlo, and you can find him over on his YouTube page at youtube.com/Sedlo. That's S-E-D-L-O. All right. Now we get over to the F-15E side of the house in DCS, and we got two sets of tutorials coming at you this week. The first one up is from Notso, N-O-T-S-O. So I mentioned before, Notso, former Wizzo of the F-15E, he's back to show us this week how to make the most use out of the IFF Mode 4 implementation of RASBAM's F-15E. So what the IFF Mode 4 capability of this aircraft offers in DCS is significantly beyond what we're used to in games. So it's important to understand how this works so you can effectively use it. You know, it's not like some other aircraft where this stuff magically works. There's a whole system built around it. So if you want a little bit more about how to use that system, go check out Notso's YouTube page. You can find him on youtube.com at Notso4966. So that's youtube.com/@Notso4966. He does go on to add an interesting tidbit, though, that I found, which he states the best part of this implementation of the IFF and interrogation system is that other community modules, or sorry, other Raspbian modules, as well as the AI, can take advantage of this expanded capability. He's offered to share this IFF baseline for free with other devs to hopefully work towards a common IFF system among DCS modules to improve beyond the, you know, the quote unquote magic DCS mode just working. So this is just another example. Kudos to this developer over at Raspbian, and then if people, as I mentioned, of these third parties really pushing the game forward, just I think it's a great thing, and I love to see the community helping each other. So thanks, Notso, for this great tutorial. Deepak is also here on the F-15E tutorial party. As I mentioned, several F-15E tutorials. If you're not familiar with Deepak, he does a great weekly DCS show over on his YouTube page each and every week. Fantastic watch if you haven't done so. But specifically what I want to highlight this week is he's already started with a series of F-15E tutorials, starting with the pilot seat startup, the Wizzo seat startup, and then a tutorial on basic takeoff and navigation. So you can find Deepak, that's DEEPHACK, on Twitch or on his YouTube page. That's youtube.com/@Deepak. He's also a great resource for tutorials on other aircraft. I know I've watched his AV-8B Harrier tutorials before. So he's a great follow, always putting out good content, just a terrific member of the community. So thanks, Deepak and Notso, for your F-15E tutorials this week. So staying inside the DCS house, but moving over to the World War II side, we got an update from Reflected Simulations. So one of the better campaign developers specifically, and specifically, I should say, when it comes to World War II, is Reflected is updating his Big Show 2.0 DCS Spitfire campaign. So he released a video on that this week on his YouTube page, and he said, with the recent updates of the DCS Normandy map, the campaign can finally use historically accurate bases and routes of all of the missions. So basically, he's leveraging some of the updates to the map and updating his campaign to reflect those changes. He said, on top of that, he's also developed more voiceovers, and the visuals were redone to bring it up to current standards. So if you're not familiar with the Big Show campaign, it's a 12-mission campaign that does require the DCS Normandy map and the World War II assets pack, but it follows Spitfire pilots from the 341st and 602nd Squadron from April 1943 to July 1944 in Western Europe. So if you're interested in picking up the campaign, it allows you to fight in huge air battles, attack V-1 launch sites, support D-Day operations, you know, a nice variety of missions away in this series if you got the Spitfire and you like the World War II setting in DCS. And with the sale on for DCS right now, you can pick that campaign up for 25% off. So that would be $7.50 US on the eShop or Steam. And also, you can follow Reflected, as always, youtube.com/ReflectedSimulations. So thank you, Reflected. Staying on the World War II side of the house, we have an announcement for DCS regarding new historical reenactment missions coming to DCS World War II. So Sunts, from his YouTube page, Sunts Ancient Gamer 8241, so he's got a great DCS YouTube DCS focused YouTube channel, which he spends a lot of time on the World War II side of the house. He brings us word this week of new historical missions coming to DCS on the Normandy map. So if you got the Normandy map, things are looking good for you right now. Specifically, a future patch is going to bring three new missions to the game. The first of which will focus on a Battle of Britain German bomber raid. So it's going to be a full single player mission where you take off as a Spitfire pilot tasked with intercepting the raid. You can do the full version with cold start takeoff. There will also be an air start instant action version if you're like me and find yourself short on time sometimes. There's also, on the counter side, an air start instant action version where you fly as the BF-109 from the German perspective, providing fighter coverage. So if you got the Spitfire or the BF-109 and the Normandy map, you're going to be all set. Also, there's a third mission. So we had the Spitfire mission, the BF-109 mission, A third mission will be a Mosquito recon mission. So if you got the Mossy, this will be a mission based on a post-strike recon mission of a factory near the outskirts of Paris in March 1942. It's going to include a full single-player mission and an instant action version. So again, if you just want to get up airborne, do the mission without having to worry about everything else, that's a nice option. And what's particularly intriguing about this one is it's going to introduce new functionality for those short on time to skip ahead to the final approach. So you can do instant action, be started airborne, do your recon pass, skip ahead right to the landing. It'll reduce some flight time, and that can all be taken care of via the radio menu, so the F-10 menu. And thanks to Sunce once again for bringing us that news this week. And again, I encourage you to go check out his video over on his YouTube page, the link to which you can find in the show notes. All right, let's shift things over to the user content for this week.
They just blew themselves up.
Sometimes it's a mission, sometimes it's a tutorial, and sometimes it's just an interesting topic of conversation here in the content of the week. This week, it is a user mission for DCS. We have Bankler's Case 1 Recovery Trainer for DCS, which is available on the DCS forum. If you're interested in naval aviation in particular, Case 1 recoveries are going to be your bread and butter. How to land on the carrier. And part of the problem with training for that is sometimes it can be a little tedious getting set up and getting ready to practice that. Well, that's where Bankler's here to get you covered. So he said he made this mission with the intent to make it easier and more fun to practice your skills around the boat. Case 1 recoveries are one of those things that most sim pilots want to get proficient in, but can be sometimes tedious to practice, as I just mentioned. So he's got a scoring system here that's been developed with guidance from a former F-18 pilot and U.S. Navy flight instructor. The way this works is the mission is going to spawn you about 10 miles behind the boat. There's also slots for cold starts and on the catapult if you prefer. And as you fly over the trailing ship, the pass quote-unquote starts. So you can approach the carrier from behind, do all the pattern stuff, the brake, the downwind, the final turn, and hopefully trap. And then the mission is going to track you at all those points and give you a score on each point, as well as some real-time feedback for how you're doing. So it tracks if you're on the right altitude, on the airspeed, how far you are from the boat when you're abeam, all those things. And then once you trap or bolter or wave off, you'll get a summary on how well you performed in each section of the pattern, as well as a final score. The maximum score is 75, so you'd be aiming for 75 out of 75. And it will also tell you what wire you got. So pretty nice and easy. And then to restart the pattern, you simply fly back up, and the mission will tell you that you're welcome for another pass. So there you go. Can rinse and repeat till your heart's content, flying Case 1 patterns. So the one interesting thing about this too is there's also multiplayer support. You can launch the mission with friends or squadron mates, and the mission will track everyone's progress separately. So use it for a great training opportunity, a nice competition among friends, whatever the case may be. There's a lot to a functionality built in here. So a very, very cool feature to have for your single player or multiplayer needs. I linked specifically to three different versions of the mission that are available on the forum post. That one is the supercarrier version. So if you got the supercarrier, you can use that. There's a separate version that makes use of the supercarrier and the T-45C, if you like that real training element, if you will. So if you're interested in picking up that mod, you can do that. And then finally, for those of you without the supercarrier, you can also have a version that supports the legacy carrier. So all three are covered. And shout out to Sedlo again. He's the one who brought this to my attention. He had a great video on his YouTube page where he attempted a Case 1 landing. He says in the notes, it was ugly. I watched the Sedlo. I didn't think it was that bad, man. You should come check out my landing sometime. It was probably beautiful by comparison. But hey, you walked away, so any landing you can walk away from is a good one. And then also, I have a link to a video from Jabbers where he has a nice walkthrough of what you can expect in the full carrier mission, the recovery mission. It's almost a tutorial, if you will, walking through that process. So link to both of those. Shout out to both of you, Sedlo and Jabbers, for your videos. And thank you very much, Bankler, for this wonderful mission for the DCS community. All right. With that finished, let's shift things over to the Sim Pit Spotlight.
You don't see any big stream of flames or smoke coming out, do you?
All right. The Sim Pit Spotlight is my favorite segment of the show where we highlight a community member's personal Sim Pit setup, no matter how simple or complex, to celebrate the joy of flying from home. And this week, we have a setup from VP Redog. So that's VP REDDOG on YouTube. And it just like it's spelled there on his YouTube page, youtube.com/@VP Redog. So VP Redog comes to us today with a wonderful F-16 cockpit. He's got a full build report over on Viper Pit, which I also linked here on the show notes. That's viperpits.org. So, I mean, anytime someone makes a full recreation of a cockpit, it's always going to look good. And I realize not everyone has room for that in their house, so I try not to lean too heavily into these full mock-ups. But what I really wanted to give a shout-out to VP Red Dog for his was the unique inclusion of a third MFD in his F-16 sim pit right below the UFC, which uniquely works with Helios, which I mentioned before in a previous show. So he's got all his checklists built into this. He's got some other interesting functionality that he brought over. So when he's flying DCS or BMS, he can bring some extra gauges on this third MFD. It just looks really solid right between his knees below the UFC. I mean, the overall pit is fantastic, but that extra piece of functionality on top was like chef's kiss. So shout out to you, Red Dog. Looks great. I got the link to the full video walkthrough on his YouTube page here in the show notes. And I encourage you to go check out his YouTube page, as he got a ton of other great video content there, really walking you through the history and evolution of his sim pit. He's been posting videos for 7+ years, so got a great content library built up over there. And it's just great to see what people can come up with when it's just in terms of they're not limited by their creativity or their ability to build some of these things. And VP Red Dog sure delivers. So thanks for sharing that little piece of content you got at home with you each and every week with the community, VP Red Dog, and safe flying. Okay, let's shift things over to the listener suggestions / feedback now.
612 departure radio check.
So I just want to give a shout out to everyone who's liked the show so far over on YouTube. We're getting increased viewers each and every week. So thank you so much, everyone, for the likes, the subscribes, and the feedback. I always love to hear from you guys, and I really appreciate you enjoying the show. That said, in regards to feedback or suggestions, if there's anything you want me to cover on the show, I'd love to hear from you. I'm always trying to do my best to make sure I cover provide a broad coverage of the military flight simulation community as possible, especially when it comes to some of the lesser known titles and on the hardware scene as well. But if you think there's something I missed or you'd encourage me to talk about, be sure to let me know. Again, you can contact me via email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com. You're always welcome to leave me a voice message on Spotify or a comment on the YouTube page. That's youtube.com/StuManji. And then you can always find me on social media. I'm at The Hangar Bay Pod on Instagram or at The Hangar Bay Pod on Twitter. It's always great to hear from you, know that you're enjoying the show, and to hear something about that you might like to see featured on future episodes. That said, it's time to wrap up the show for another week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next Saturday, as we always do here, to get you squared away with all the latest military flight simulation and hardware news. I won't have any spoilers, but next week I will be out of town, so it might be a little bit of a different show than we anticipate, but I'm still planning to get it done for you guys. And until then, think about what you put out into the community and make it a better place. Fly safe, everyone.
Red head, let's go down low, out of deck, unload 500 knots, let's get out of here.
The missile knows where it is at all times. Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is that you can find the video show on YouTube or on Spotify at The Hangar Bay Pod. The audio show is available on all major podcast providers. You can contact the show via email, feedback@thehangarbaypod.com, or on Instagram and Twitter at The Hangar Bay Pod. Show notes and links to everything discussed on this week's show are available at thehangarbaypod.com.